Lindsay sends me the production that she puts together, you know, a day or two before the show, and I'll put it into the system so we can play it. And I don't know what it is you're doing, but you're just ridiculously talented and creative. And I thought for sure, oh, she's going to use the police every breath you take. But that's like the age difference. Like Andy'd be all over that, too.
But clearly although, you haven't listened to the other audio I've sent you for later in the show yet.
No, I did. I did.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I thought in the open it would be there for sure.
But and still then, like...
No. It's really just, upbeat, well, it's like, and it's really nice. I really do like it. Although now, you know, going back to the Police Every Breath You Take song, I mean, that now it's got a whole bad meaning, right?
Yes, it does.
Right.
Oh, it does?
Oh, yeah.
Well, sure. It's like...
What is it?
It's a stalker song.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the thing is, I saw an interview once. Good morning, Andy. Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
I saw an interview once with Sting that he wrote it to be a stalker song. Like it was not a, and he goes, people play it at weddings.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't
get
it.
Such a good song. Well, it's a good, I mean, that's.
Right. But if now that you have that in your head, then listen to the song and you'll be like, okay.
That's a little creepy.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
I still like it.
That is nice. It is a good song.
Sometimes
still.
You just can't.
Do you remember, Andy, do you remember the video?
Yes.
Yeah.
The video was that was creepy? Cool.
It was dark, yes.
It was dark.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It was like time. A completely dark, if I have this right, Andy, correct me, right? It was a completely dark, like, studio.
Yes.
With just hundreds of candelabras,
mm-hmm.
right? Lit. I mean.
Like a shrine.
And close-ups of Sting.
And close-ups of Sting.
Yeah.
Being like a creepy guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then people play the song at weddings.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we're using them for our interviews later in the show.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey.
Anyway, so that's just really, you're very good.
I thought you were going to make fun of the fact that I used Charlie Chaplin to Finding Nemo.
I loved it. It's great.
I felt that was Dory in there.
It was Dory.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Dory?
But now right. Ellen, I mean, she's controversial in herself, too. I mean, look at that.
There you go. We are just all full of controversy this morning here on House Smarts Radio.
No, that's not avoid it.
Right. That's not normally what we do. But anyway, what was I going to? Oh, Andy, I had a question for you.
Okay.
It'll come to me. Are you watching? Are we anybody watching the Olympics? Are we spending any time on the Olympics this morning?
Here and there.
Here and there.
Yeah. I watched a little bit of the hockey game last night.
Yeah, how about that? Those kids are like 12.
Yeah, they all have pimples and acne, and they're skating around like I wish I could.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's kind of got that. I mean, obviously, everybody loves a good storyline, right? And the storyline of it's kind of like the Miracle on Ice in 1980.
Yep, a ragtag bunch of college kids. Yep, 1980, yeah. Lake Placid.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Let's see how far they go.
Yeah.
It's certain events. It's fun. It's got to be so hard for those athletes. They can't. I mean, it's so restrictive there with the COVID protocols that it's nuts.
Yeah.
And it makes me so sad every time I hear a story about some athlete that went there and then they get COVID and they can't compete.
Yeah, you work so hard to get there. And
and then you're done.
And you can't have your family there. And that's even worse. And I think NBC's done a nice job there with the little video screens and they've when they're interviewing the athletes after their competition. Get a chance to at least say hi.
Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah, I think they've done a nice job with that too. And it's funny how they've scaled it back. You know, normally it's a huge big production where they bring everybody there, they just can't.
Nope.
And NBC has the Super Bowl too.
Yeah. So Mike Tirico, who's been hosting the Olympic coverage, flew back to Los Angeles to host the coverage of the Super Bowl, and he's going to fly back.
Oh, you're kidding.
Jet lag syndrome there.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's crazy. Who are we going for in the Super Bowl,
Bengals.
Gentlemen and ladies?
Bengals.
Hard not to root for the Bengals.
Really?
Be pretty
Lindsay,
great
do you
see.
Have an opinion on the
I
Super
forgot
Bowl?
Who was playing.
Okay.
Okay. The Bengals and the
Bengals.
Rams.
Yeah.
See, I have this weird soft spot for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great, too. NFC good, North guy for so long.
Yeah, and I mean, so I kind of feel like you have to go for the NFC.
I would like to see him win, too. It's kind of a win-win, I feel like. If the Rams win, you can be happy for Stafford. If the
Bengals
although
win. Cincinnati's never won a Super Bowl.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. They're 0-2. Yeah. And I have a cousin that actually works for the Bengals, so I'm rooting for him and to get a ring.
Oh, yeah. Very cool.
All right. Well, okay. I'm going for the Bengals, Andy. That's all I need. I need some kind of connection, right?
Yep, there you go.
You know, when you watch these Olympic stories and they say, oh, he's from a small town in Wisconsin. I saw some last night. I was watching something. There were some couples, like mixed couples snowboard event or something.
Yeah, I saw those. And I saw them.
And it's some woman who's like a known Olympic athlete, and then some other guy who's like from Iron Mountain, Michigan, which is in the Upper Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was just so ecstatic. And then his family came on, you know, via Zoom. And he's like, I'm bringing a gold back to Iron Mountain. You know, I mean, you're like, you love that, right?
That's right. Yes.
That guy will never pay for a drink in Iron Mountain, Michigan
again.
Better
not.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Hey there, that's Jimmy. He won the gold medal.
Hey,
you know, get him a Labatt's.
It's on me.
Right. It's on me. So that's fun. All right, we're going for the Bengals. Thank
Bengals.
You, Andy, for changing my mind.
No worries.
877-2134-LOU, 877-2134-568. Let's start out with some phone calls this morning and see how we can help some people out. This is Mary Ann, who's on Long Island. Mary Ann, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Yes, good morning, Lou. Yes, hi. I have these six plaques to put on the wall, Parisian scenes, and it's a resin. It has a little bit of weight, but I don't want to make holes in the wall. I saw on TV an ad for like alien tape, but I looked online and it had bad reviews. What could I use so I don't have to put holes in the wall to hang these things?
Are they relatively flat on the back, Marianne?
Yes.
Okay. Command strips. Okay. The command strips that you can stick onto a wall with and put hooks and things like that.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with that product? Are you familiar with that product?
Yes.
Okay. They make a specific product for something like this where it's two strips and it's a proprietary hook and loop. You and I would call it Velcro. And you stick the one on the back of the what you're going to hang. And I believe each one will hold like 3 pounds. And so if you did four of them, I'm just making this up, and you stuck that on the back of your what you want to hang, then you take the other side and put the hook and loop together, peel off the tape, place it where you want to go, and then push it against the wall and hold some pressure there for 30 seconds or so. Then if you need to adjust it, you can peel it away. The part will stick on the wall, and you can adjust it because it's like a hook and loop, and you should be good to go.
Okay, so command strip, it's a two-strip.
It's for picture hanging. It's specifically for picture hanging, and I believe they call it the command strip hook and loop mounting tape.
Hook and loop.
Hook and loop mounting tape.
Okay, very good. I'm going to try that. Thank you.
I appreciate you calling this morning. Thank you so much. 877-2134-LOU, 877-2134-568. So one of the things we want to talk about today is indoor air quality. You know, throughout this COVID epidemic, pandemic that we've been through, there's such a focus on indoor air quality that we really have to pay attention. I know that I've spoken a lot about the fact that we need to upgrade the furnace filters inside your home, but we put together some tips that I'm going to play this morning that I think you'll find interesting that might be helpful when it comes to making sure that the indoor air quality in your home is a good one. Listen to this.
They talk about the weather.
They talk about
the
weather.
Talk about the men.
Oh, the women talk about the men. Thank you. See, I know the words. It's perfect. Happy Valentine's Day weekend, everybody. I hope you make it a good one. 877-2134-LOU. Let's talk to Anthony, who's calling in from Algonquin. Hey, Anthony, good morning.
Thanks, Lou, for taking my call. Really appreciate it. I got a crack that runs from one side of the wall on the ceiling to the other, and which is a big crack, and then a real thin crack about 2 feet east of that, very thin, and then another one that runs on a wall, a vertical wall, all the way to a doorway.
Okay.
And I've had a couple of painters try to come and fix it, and it just won't work. I need someone that really knows what they're doing.
Tell me about, Anthony, tell me about the age of your home, and have you noticed any doors or windows not operating properly?
No. The windows, the doors are fine, and it's 7 years old.
The house is 7 years old.
Right.
Hmm. The ceiling crack, is it, do you have an attic above there, or is it the second floor?
It's an attic.
Okay, and do you know if you have roof trusses on that house? Did they use trusses when they built the house?
Oh, boy, I don't know.
All right. My guess is, with a seven-year-old home, you've got trusses, and you're experiencing something called truss lift. And the issue isn't about having a painter just come and patch the crack. Somebody probably needs to go up in that attic and put additional blocking in between the trusses, so that bottom cord of the truss, the thing that comes, you know, if you imagine a big triangle, the bottom leg of that triangle, okay?
Right.
It's moving, and that's why you have that big crack. And we need to block that first. So what you need is probably a carpenter to come and take a look at this. Do you have a pen or a pencil?
Sure do.
All right. You're out there by, you're in Algonquin, which is that home of that Mega Pros.
Right.
Contact them, and this would be right up their alley that they could probably help you soup to nuts on this.
Okay. And could I ask one more question?
Yep.
Okay. On my concrete floor in the basement, you know, they score it so the cracks don't run to the other side.
Correct.
I want to fill those in. And you told somebody about some caulking that you sell, I think, at your hardware store. And but I didn't get a chance to write it down.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's called slab. S-L-A-B. And it's a concrete, it's an acrylic-based concrete caulking that you can fill in those cracks, but it'll still stay flexible. And it's a gray product, and it's from a company called Sashco, S-A-C-S-H-C-O.
Okay, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You have a great morning. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. One other thing that I want you to think about when it comes to indoor air quality inside your home is, one of my curses in my life is that I'm tall. And so I see all the dust that's up high that not a lot of people see. And really pay attention as we're coming into spring about that kind of cleaning, and get on a regular basis of using, you know, like one of these Swiffers with the long extension pole. They do a great job over the door frames, on top of picture frames that are in certain areas, and even the return air grill in your home or throughout your home. Right now, if you're at home, look at that stuff. I promise you it's gross. And if you clean up that dust and wipe it off and do it more than just once a year, like this is something you should be doing once a month, your home will be cleaner, your air will be cleaner, and you'll feel better. All right, we need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. I can hear you in the background. Hey, Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hey.
Hello there.
Hi.
How may I help you, sir?
Good. I like your pick for the Super Bowl because you're not doing it on football. You're doing it on friends. So
right, exactly. I mean, at this point, Bob, what are you going to do, right? If you don't have a dog in the hunt, you might as well try and come up with some connection, right?
Exactly right. And I don't care about the commercials either. I just like good football. So, and I'm sorry the GOAT isn't playing. One last time.
How may I help you this morning, sir?
The question I have is, I have a stove, and two of the burners work beautifully. The other three, I have to use a match to get things going. Mm. And any idea what to do? I'm not sure.
When you, I'm assuming you have an electronic striker, correct?
Right. Yeah.
And when you go, when you hear that click, click, do you actually see a little spark happening?
No, I don't. Okay. I was looking at, but so if I turn one burner on, mm-hmm, and it doesn't go, I put another, I leave it on, and when I put another burner on, they both go. So
okay,
I'm not sure that's a mistake.
Do you have any steel wool in the house?
I'm sure, but okay, like many things, I'll go buy.
Okay, so what I would do is take a little steel wool on that striker and gently go around it to clean it. Okay, uh-huh, but be careful because they're kind of clipped in place on the body of the appliance as well, and you just don't want to snap mm-hmm that off. And then also on the part of the burner that it, you know, it clicks to, take the steel wool and clean around that, all the way around it. In a perfect world, if you had a little bit of a wire brush, like they make a small detailed wire brush, it's called a stripping brush, and you could clean each one of those holes. Back in the day, when I started in the trades, I was a welder, and I used to not only weld, but I would use an acetylene torch. And acetylene torch had a tip on it, and you had these tip cleaners. It almost looked like an Allen wrench set, but it had different size files because carbon builds up in those little holes. And you'd occasionally have to take that tip cleaner and clean the little holes on the acetylene. Now, mind you, you know, that torch was, you know, 1,400 degrees or so, so you had to be very careful. Your cooktop's not that way, but there's still carbon that can build up even with natural gas. And I bet if you try cleaning those things out, Bob, you probably get it to light again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll give it a shot. See.
All right. Enjoy the game, and I appreciate you calling. By the way, our show today about healthy indoor air quality is sponsored by Fellows Air Purifiers. The most prepared workspaces have Fellows Air Purifiers. 877-213-4LU, 877-213-4568. This is Greg calling in from New York City. Hey, Greg, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hello.
Hello there. Good morning.
Yeah, I got a question for you. I have a two-family rental house in New York.
Yep.
A few years back, I had to have the cast iron sewer main replaced up to and including the trap. And at the same time, I got new tenants in both apartments. 3 months later, the sewer backed up. Mm. When I opened the trap, the house side of the trap was gopped up with this gooey white stuff, like a heavy Crisco. I talked to the tenants. They say they're not putting any grease in the sink. But ever since this happened, every 3 or 4 months, I have to go clean out the house side of the trap. The contractor says there's nothing wrong with the flow. The tenants aren't putting grease down the sink. Where should I start looking? And is there any place I can go to have this goop analyzed to find out what it is?
Well, the tenants never put anything down the drain. That they'll never admit to that. And so, I mean, if the plumber did, you say that they put a clean out in the sewer as well when you had it done?
I'm sorry.
A clean out. Did they do it? Put a clean out in there, or when you call the plumber, how do they access the sewer line to see what's going on? Do they go down to the basement or something and take off a clean out so they can see it?
Yes, I take out the caps on the trap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I scoop out what I can with my hand, and then I run a snake through the length of the house to clean out the pipe under the basement floor. Hmm. But like I said, every 3 or 4 months, I have to go do it again.
Hmm. That's crazy. So you have these two units. You've got two kitchens. How many bathrooms?
Two bathrooms.
In each, two bathrooms total or four bathrooms?
Two bedrooms total.
Yeah, I mean they're putting something down the drain. As far as getting it analyzed, you'd have to find a lab that could do environmental testing. I mean, I don't know one off the top of my head, but I guarantee you can find one. And if you took a sample of this, and you know, if you're telling me that it looks like Crisco or whatever it might be, then you know, the, I mean, A, it shouldn't be happening, and B, I guarantee you, your tenants are probably putting something down there. If there's no problem with the flow, well, let me think about this. You say it's so much that it clogs every 3 months.
Yeah, well, maybe 4 months, but yes, it and it's on the house side of the trap. It's not the street side.
Right. The house side, you're calling it a trap, but you mean the house side of the clean out.
No, there's a trap.
There's a trap. So in other words, there's a backflow preventer?
No, a U-shaped trap, like you see on the bottom of the sink.
Okay, so it's only a trap, and that's on the house side, not from the other side. Okay, so then it's not coming from the street, okay?
No.
I mean, just based on how you're describing it, it has to be coming from your tenants. Now, the only way that you're going to, well, I mean, I don't know. You got to get them to come to religion to stop doing it, or you're going to have to install a whole line grease trap. So they make these mechanical grease traps that you can put in line that basically look like giant shoe boxes, and you would run the drain into that. That would collect the grease trap, and then it would flow into the sewer. They work, but they have to be cleaned out at least, well, based on what you've got going on, every 4 months. But you just open up a trap door, and I have to tell you, it is nasty, Greg. Those things are nasty to clean out. But it does keep, but it keeps it from clogging the rest of the, you know, it keeps it from clogging the rest of the system. But I promise you. I promise you, your tenants are putting something down the drain. That's what's happening, and they're just not telling you the truth. So you got to get them to stop doing it, because magically, if you get new tenants, I bet the problem goes away. Appreciate the phone call. 877-213-4LOU. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Well, I got a question for you. I'm still looking for a condo out in the Western Burbs here, and it's a little confusing. You know, on some of these websites, they'll talk about the different types of heat. I wrote down these seven words: gas, forced air, baseboard, radiator, steam, electric, and radiant. And I was wondering if you could maybe explain what those mean and the pros and cons to eat for each, and also to match this week's theme, which one tends to be more clean?
Well, a gas forced air typically means it's a furnace that blows air through venting in the home, and typically that will also mean you have central air conditioning. And a system like that would have an air filter that you could either upgrade the filter itself, or you could even put in a whole house air purification system that goes into the HVAC. What was the other one? Radiant, did you say?
Well, I wrote down gas, forced air, and then baseboard, radiator, steam, electric,
okay,
radiant.
Okay, so baseboard radiator is exactly that. That's hot water heat. Now, the beauty part of hot water heat, I'll argue that that's probably the best way to heat a home, because you get residual heat from the radiators, and it doesn't move any air. And so when you think about the air quality inside there, you're not blowing dust around. The heat is just naturally occurring from physics, where the radiators get hot. They've got a, elevated base, whether they're metal fin. So if you're going to look at a place that has radiator heat, Tom, I would look for ones that have cast iron radiators, not, just to confuse you even more, not metal fin tube. Okay, metal fin tube is kind of a less expensive way to go. It's still a good way to heat, but you don't get the kind of residual heat. And then within radiator, you either have a steam boiler or hot water. My preference would be a hot water boiler, not steam, because steam tends to be noisier, like when you're living in a home with a steam boiler.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
okay.
The most prevalent heating and cooling system in the country is gas forced air. Now, more homes have that than, radiator was kind of traditional, but I still love radiator heat. I think it's a terrific way to heat a home.
How about electric and radiant heat? Those two.
So electric radiant heat as a supplement, I think, is great for a whole house. It could get really expensive.
Hmm. Okay, and then I was reading, radiant heat, is that the same as having, like, hot water below the floor?
It is. It is. So it is, radiant heat is awesome. If you have hot water below the floor, you get this consistent, basically like a heating pad throughout the entire base of the floor, and it it just permeates up. Radiant in-floor heating is my favorite. It is absolutely my favorite, and I think you'll really like that. Thanks so much for the phone call. I want to take one quick call. We had that guy calling in, and so I got Joe here who's on Long Island. Joe, are you a plumber?
I'm a master plumber.
Joe, I need a guy like you. What do you think's going on with that guy's house?
He probably has an issue with when he had that line replaced. It was, it's probably a long line, and the toilets that they installed afterwards are, water-saving toilets, which basically uses 1.6 gallons of water.
Not enough water.
And that the bathroom tissue or toilet paper isn't being fully washed away, and it turns into like a pulpy white it almost looks like a grease when he was talking about it that way. It's that, and the thing is that his house, you know, in the city, we put in house traps where basically that is slowing down the flow enough also that is causing this kind of an issue.
Mm.
I've run into this a number of times. The thing is he needs to, when he renovated the house, there are a lot of water-saving devices or restrictors in the aerators of the faucets.
Right.
In the shower head.
Right.
He needs to take them out so that he can get enough water to wash out that line clean. If he does that, it'll basically disappear. I've had a number of customers, out in the eastern end of Long Island that have that problem because of the size of these houses. And the bottom line is that the municipalities around here in Southampton and East Hampton area, they actually are starting to do away with the house traps so that they can get a better flow.
Yeah. That is such good advice, and I so appreciate you calling in this morning because you're right. You're probably old enough, and I'm old enough to remember when they first started with the low flow toilets where. Everybody was running to buy the old toilets so they could install them before the regulations changed. And,
oh yeah, I remember people going up to Canada to buy.
Yeah, they used to buy them in Canada. That's right. Joe, are you in your own business or you work for somebody?
Well, I've had three businesses in New York City, Massachusetts, and Maryland, Washington D.C. area, but. Like everything else, there's so much work and not enough guys.
Our profession
basically is running out of plumbers.
Right.
So I've gone back to help some plumbers out here, and the bottom line is that I'm working for somebody out in Southampton, and I have my own little thing going on too.
Right.
That is for interesting problems, I call it.
You got it.
They've had other plumbers. They've had other plumbers, and they can't figure it out, and then they call me. I have 43 years of experience, and I'm a second-generation plumber.
Attaboy. Well, Joe, I appreciate you listening, and I really appreciate the advice to help the listener out. Thank you so much. All right, drive carefully.
Well, thank you, and you do the same, and I appreciate your expertise also. You know what you're talking about.
Take care, buddy. I appreciate you calling. 877-213-4-LOU. We will take a quick break and be back after this. We're hearing about all the coaches that the Bears are hiring.
Right.
So-and-so from here and so from there. And, you never want anybody to lose their job.
Correct.
Right? Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, and whatever. People get very passionate about that. But what I want to know is, like, all those other coaches that work for the Bears,
mm-hmm.
are they getting hired?
Yeah. Actually, Desai, who's the defensive coordinator for a while, is now the associate head coach for defense with the Seattle Seahawks. Oh, Chris Tabor got a job right away. He was the special teams coordinator. I can't remember where he went, but Carolina Panthers, that's where he went. So, yeah, they're getting some jobs.
So, I mean, as these other folks, you know, obviously the new coach for the Bears is assembling their team of coaches, but other companies, too, are figuring it out, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, many of the coaches that we have are good guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of the guys that they're hiring obviously came from other NFL teams that, you know, cleaned house, or these guys are getting a promotion, which allows them to move jobs at that point. If they get hired at a higher rate than they were before, or right. a higher coaching status, I guess you could say.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a revolving door when there's a coach gets fired in one city. Another guy comes in, he has the option, if he wants to keep some of the guys if they're under contract, or he can just tell them to, you know, right. go find another job.
Well, good. I'm glad to know
there's a few guys getting jobs.
Everybody's moving around. And then I was watching the Olympics, and I was watching Sean White, who, you know, did his final snowboarding thing. Don, were you involved in any tips that he gave him, you know, for the final run?
Yeah, I sent him an email and a real letter, and I just said, don't fall.
You didn't send him any of your YouTube videos of you on the snowboard?
Those I'm still editing before I upload them, because right, right. I'm trying to cut out all the
errors. You know, I used
errors.
To be a skier, and I haven't skied in a long time, but I think that the downhill skiers that have the big helmets and the giant goggles.
Oh, yeah.
Is the coolest look. What was the name of that band that had you can never see their faces.
Daft
and
Punk?
They even want to. Right. They look like Daft Punk.
Yeah.
Everybody coming down.
They really do. They really
look at you with a Daft Punk reference.
I know. Well,
good.
Here's the other thing. I was I own a rental property, and I was at the building this week, and I had to fix a dishwasher. I'm very handy. I was messing around with this dishwasher, and I couldn't quite get it to work. And then I got it to work. And the tenant, a young woman that lives there, there's three women that live there, and I said, I go, do you know any of your 1990s R&B music? And she kind of looks at me funny, and I go, she goes, not really. And I go, don't touch me, because I'm close to the edge, and I did that, right, like a dork. And she goes, oh, I know that from the movie Happy Feet.
Oh.
See, the content trickles down just
right.
in different ways.
Right.
So good.
Right? And so, you know, whenever I'm successful at something, I use that line all the time. I realize I've turned into the old, you know, I am the ultimate dad joke. But anyway, it was pretty funny. Oh, I know that from Happy Feet. I go, okay, all right, whatever. Here we go. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's go to the phone lines right now. Oh, how about this? Our next caller is going to win a, let me see, let me find it. Lindsay said it's right here. I'm going to find it. Find it. Where is it? I still haven't found it. What does she win, Lindsay?
She is going to, we are going to send her out a WGN Radio mug. It's a big old mug for your coffee.
We have mugs?
Lou.
Really? I don't have a mug.
That's right.
Wow, that's nice. Yeah. Well, let's give that to... Let's give that to Janice, who's calling in from Elmhurst. Hey, Janice, we're going to send you out a WGN Radio mug.
Thanks very much, Lou.
You're welcome. How may I help you this morning?
I'm in a fourth floor condo, which is the top floor, and in the summer I have bats. They've been coming back for like 3 or 4 years.
Mm.
They try, but I've gone to a few pest control companies, and they. Hung mothballs, which now I hang for myself, but I can't use the balcony. I mean, I'd like to use the balcony. Do you know anything?
So they come at night, obviously.
Yeah, although I have caught them, I photographed them in the afternoon once or twice.
And where, and specifically, are they tucked underneath the balcony above? Or the roof above?
No, I'm on the top floor, but yeah, there's like a brick... overhang, and they're tucked inside, you know, they come in to the balcony side, mm-hmm. and that's where they hang.
Okay. We had a caller when I was on with Bob Surratt Friday morning, and a caller wanted to know about a call that I'd gotten earlier in the week somebody had a problem with bats in their attic, and what solved the problem for them was a strobe light. And they put a strobe light up in their attic. You know, it's dark, obviously, up there. And the bright light, because bats are nocturnal, you know, in the daytime, they don't want to be out. Perhaps what could make sense is, do you have a plug out there or a way to run an extension cord out there?
Yeah, there's a plug.
Okay.
There's an outlet.
Okay, so maybe instead of a strobe light, which would probably drive your neighbors crazy.
Yeah.
Do they go to one specific spot on that roof overhang?
They go in three of the four corners.
Okay.
They pick. They're not all there at the same time.
Right. And is there any way to modify those corners where you could put a piece of, hardware cloth or something to pull them away?
Maybe.
Okay. So that might, I mean, ultimately, if you could, you know, the thing is, we just need them to go somewhere else. But what I'm thinking is, you can buy a LED shop light. And they do, not that I want you to buy all of this, but they're not that expensive. You can buy them that come on a stand, right? So if I was a contractor working at your house, I may have one of these lights. It sits, you know, stands up on its own, and maybe it's 5 feet tall, you know, when it's in a room and I can see on a wall. They don't use, they hardly use any electricity whatsoever. You could plug it in and point it right at that corner. Well, that bright light is going to be so annoying to them, they're going to go somewhere else. But the fact that they're going to other corners... Well, I mean, maybe the one light is enough for it to do it. But if you were to use something like a hardware cloth, which is a heavy-duty screening, you can bend this in place and kind of tie it up or use zip ties or something to hold it in place just so they're annoyed that they can't go there and use this spot, right? And hopefully after a little bit of time, they'll go somewhere else.
Okay, it's worth a try. I'd probably get a handyman to do it.
Sure,
it sounds like.
Sure. You're in Elmhurst, so I know that. Actually, I was just at our Villa Park store. Ace Hardware now has a handyman service that's connected to Ace, and it's called Ace Handyman Services, and they do work in the Elmhurst Villa Park area.
Oh, great!
They're expanding their reach and. It's brand new to that area. So if you go to acehardware.com, you should see a way to link to that handyman service.
Okay, that's great.
All right.
Thank you.
Janice, have a great day. Appreciate you calling.
Thanks, Blue, and thanks for the mug, too.
You're welcome. Bye. 877-2134-LOU, 720 in the morning on 720 WGN. We'll take a quick break. Be back right after this. Yes, sir.
My wife, Debbie, your biggest fan, wants me to paint the dining room. And years ago, when you opened a can of paint, it gave off fumes, and they tell you open the windows because those fumes weren't healthy for you.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, now that there's so many odorless paints, is that problem of the fumes still there but you can't smell them?
Well, so what is occurring now is there's many paint lines now that are... no VOCs, and there are some that are low VOCs. So you still get at the smell of a paint, but for instance, Benjamin Moore in their Aura line, the big thing with Benjamin Moore paint was they created the first line of no VOC paint. And there's a couple of points on this. What happened was the paint itself was no VOC, but prior to them developing these Gen X tints, they call them, when you put the tint in the paint, like you tinted it a color, well, then it had VOC. Not high, but a low amount. And they were no, and now they're back to low when you tint the paint. So it is sort of a thing of the past from a standpoint of if you've got sensitivity to all that, it's still a good idea to keep things, ventilated with a window open and whatnot. But that's what, you know, if you buy better quality paint on this kind of stuff, Bob, you're going to be in pretty good shape.
All right, Lou, thanks. You have a good day.
You too. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-2134-LOU. This is Scott, who's in Genoa. Hey, Scott, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Lou?
I'm doing great.
Got a good question for you. I have a house that's about 20 years old. Okay, I only tell you that because it's not some old Victorian or it's not like a 1950s ranch. It's like a story and a half house. So it's got this a big shed roof. Okay.
Okay.
And then it's got a the garage has a normal V kind of shape. Okay.
Like a gable roof.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so there's like an intersection, and this all funnels down to this little 3-foot section of a gutter that faces west and south. The shed roof faces south, and this little gutter is on the little jog over from on the side of the gable facing west. And the short story is every time it snows, the gutter gets full of snow, and then a little bit of sun comes out, and then it immediately gets saturated with water. I can't even beat it because I'll be at work and it'll be snowing, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get home and I'm going to get that gutter cleared out, and then I get home and it's a block of ice, and I don't know what to do. And everyone's like, well, get one of those electric heater the cores, and I tried that, and I don't know. I don't see how any. I need some kind of something that can just blow the snow out of it automatically. I don't know if there's another solution. That's why this has been happening to me for a long time, and I should have probably called you like 19 years ago.
I was here. All right. Well, let me ask you this. You said it goes in this corner, but the gutter does continue going left or right out of that corner, correct?
There's a gut. You mean the gutter is.
In other words,
like
the gutter. That's it. It's just in that corner. It doesn't extend.
There's a long gutter that that's along the shed roof, the bottom that faces south, the longer edge of the shed roof that at the front of the house.
Let me ask
south.
You
that has no problem.
Right.
Generally has no problem. It's just a little short one, and then there's one downspout coming down. And that's it. But it always just, you ever see those videos on YouTube where they say, oh, look, there's like government conspiracy about ice melt or ice burning,
right,
And all it is, they take some snow and they saturate it with a little kerosene or something, and it soaks it up like a sponge, then they light it on fire.
Right.
Well, the same thing happens with this. So I don't know, short of having my, someone immediately get on a ladder out there to clear it out every time, I don't know if there's any kind of heater that's strong enough.
Is it a single story? In other words, could you reach it with a 8-foot ladder?
Yeah, it's like a story and a half.
Okay.
So this is at the height of the garage. My garage the gable comes down to like, it's only like 8 foot on the wall.
Okay, here's what I want you to do, since this has been a huge problem for you. You are going to buy, every winter, you're going to buy some knee-high nylons, okay?
Okay.
And you're gonna
get those still?
You can get them. At Legs, you can get them at Walgreens.
Okay.
And you're going to fill the knee-high nylons with calcium chloride, and you're going to make like a filled-up sock with calcium chloride.
Okay.
And
you're
going to put that, you're going to put one in the gutter and one in that point where the two roofs meet. And you're gonna make two of these. Excuse me. You're gonna make four of them. Street brand filter system that you can buy and mount underneath the sink. Feed the water into that. Feed the water out. I wouldn't do the kitchen faucet because then you're gonna filter all the water when you're washing dishes. You know what I mean?
Right.
And if you did a separate water spout, a water filler, that would make sense. I've been using the Filtrete one for the water service, for filling water at our home for a number of years. The filters last 3 months, and the water comes out crystal clear.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Let me make sure I understand. So that's on the line going from the sink to the refrigerator. You'd put that?
Correct. If you cannot find a more narrow micron filter for the fridge, okay. And I can't think of the microns off the top of my head, like what you need, but there's essentially,
I can do the homework.
Yeah, you can do the homework. It's good, better, best, right? Try that first, right? Buy that filter and say, problem solved, and we're done. If not, then buy this Filtrete under sink filter system, take the line from the sink into that, and then come out of that and go into the refrigerator/ice maker.
Right. So that like 1 inch or 1/8 of an inch line that comes out of the sink I would run that into the filter system, and then the filter system would contribute that to the refrigerator freezer.
I believe, off the top of my head, that system uses a quarter-inch line, so you may need a reducer. You would just need a, I mean, you know, you need a brass reducer. It may even come with it, you know, depending on what you're going to do with it. But then what's nice about it is it's got a bracket you mount inside the cabinet on the side, so it's accessible. And then you just take the filter, click, click, come out, you know, 3 months later, dump it, recycle it, put the new one on, flush the system, and it works out great. It's 3M Filtreat Water Filtration System.
Okay, I will certainly try that. I appreciate your insight.
You got it, bud. Appreciate you calling as well. This morning, we're talking all about indoor air quality. Today's show about healthy indoor air is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems at permaseal.net. I also have some tips, you know, when it comes to indoor air quality that I want to share with you throughout the morning. Here's another one I think you'll find interesting. That should be playing right now, and it's not. Why is that? Let's try that again. Hello? I had such great plans that it was going to work. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and I'll figure out why this isn't working and be right back. Lou Manfredini here with you, House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN, 877-2134-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Debbie calling in from Darien. Hi, Debbie. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. I have a question. We have a radio in the kitchen that's plugged in, and when we get the AM stations on, especially the lower numbers like 720 and below, we get this static when a light is turned on in the adjacent hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And I shut the light off.
Wait. Debbie, I have a question. Are there other AM radio stations lower than 720? I wasn't aware of that.
The score is.
No, I've never heard of the score. No. You must be mistaken. Anyway, keep going.
So, anyway, when the light is turned on in the hallway, you get static on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
When you shut it off, it'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've done some remodeling and had switches changed and stuff, and everything's working fine. Now, this may have been going on before and I didn't notice it. I don't know. But now, since we had this done, I'll notice this static when the hallway light gets turned on. And the radio is on AM stations, but the lower end numbers.
Right.
So, FM seems okay.
Right. So it's all about frequency, right? And the frequencies in a lot of the solid state material now, when you have light fixtures change and outlets, a lot of those dimmers now are universal dimmers, and they can emit a frequency. Now, the other thing, a lot of times what occurs with static on radios is you have some charging or some cord that has a transformer in it that may be going bad. So, for instance, I'm trying to think of what you would have plugged in, like your television set or a DVD player that is the cord isn't directly plugged in, but maybe there's a, you know, like they typically have that little black rectangle that's a reducer for a transformer for whatever the device might be, or a phone charger. Well, that frequency can be going through the line, and then you flip the switch, that's where you notice the static because it's doing that. So one thing to test out is on that first floor or whatever, try and unplug everything that's plugged in, right, and leave the radio plugged in.
Okay.
And see if that makes a difference. And then you can kind of say, huh, boy, when I plug in the TV, that's when it is, or I plug in the DVD player, or I plug in, you know, some other electrical device that you, you know, have connected isn't working, and you may be able to trace it down there and just need a new power source. Even like, do you have a power strip somewhere that a bunch of things are plugged into?
In another room for the TV,
it's all kind of wired together. They share the neutrals and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's
you know,
So here's two.
In the kitchen, there's just the, like, the refrigerator, the dishwasher, microwave kind
right.
of stuff.
Right, right, right.
Plus, the radio is very old. It's about 30 years old.
Oh,
it's
wow.
been fine.
Okay, so my other question is, if you take that radio out of the kitchen and plug it somewhere else, what happens?
Oh, okay.
Right? Let's do that right. test. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, while I love that you listen directly on the radio too, you know you can listen to WGN on a smart device over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you get to listen through your stereo or the device, and the audio quality is like you're listening to FM. When you listen to me via the stream, I sound like Lyle Dean.
Okay.
And who doesn't want to sound like Lyle Dean? Right?
Right.
Give all that okay. stuff a try, and do me a favor and call me back and let me know if anything gets better. 877-213-4-LOU. This is Jack calling in from Indiana. Hey, Jack, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, Lou, I got a couple questions for you. One on air quality. I've got a small little wood shop in my basement, and it happens to be in the same room where the furnace is. I'm wondering if there's anything I can do to kind of hold down the dust before it gets sucked into the air system.
Well, with the furnace, you probably should be building... Well, A, you want to caulk every seam of every piece of ductwork so that you seal it, right? Because it's probably taking in the dust from there. And do you have the ability to build a sheet wall around the furnace, like even just with some plastic?
Yeah, I could do that.
You know, give yourself some space so that try and, frame it and then take some heavy visqueen, you know, that you could staple to create a barrier to catch most of the dust, and then if you caulk everything and seal everything up on the furnace, I mean, you're still going to get a little bit in there, but you will reduce it, and you got to really be religious about replacing the filters.
Yeah, well, I've got an air cleaner on there, and then I also use a shop vac with a cyclone that...
Yeah, in your shop. Well, that's good, that's good, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, that's what I would do.
Okay.
Do you have another question?
Secondly, I heard you talking to the guy about his gutter system. I've got a gutter that drains into an in-ground thing with a pop-up in the yard.
Yep.
But when it snows, the pop-up doesn't pop up, and the water keeps backing up and coming out and dumping onto the sidewalk by my house.
Hmm. So in some...
Anything I can do to clean that out?
Yeah, I mean, something like that with the pop-up. Another thing, you know, you have to be, you just got to keep the snow off of it. And a lot of times this all occurs when you're not at home, whatever. They do make a diverter that you can put where it goes into the ground that is what they call a vented diverter. Have you seen these things where the downspout comes, but then it's cut short and you've got the pipe coming out of the ground and it's like a grate, an angled grate. So when the water comes down, it filters through the grate. You know, there's a gap that if it was ever clogged, it would redirect. Now, the backup you're speaking of, it could still occur, but it would at least be more controlled as opposed to flooding it, right?
Okay.
And that may help you to put that, separate the downspout up about 6 inches, put this grate on there that's an angled grate, and let the water flow through there. Now, the other thing is, when it's really cold, there's no water, so that's not a problem. But this is a diverter that at least keeps it, when the pop-up won't work, then it at least keeps the water from overflowing on your gutter and should do a pretty nice job for you. Thanks so much for the phone call. Bumping up against time here, 877-213-4-LOU. We'll take a quick break and be right back. Do you have to worry about the chemicals that come off of, you know, the cheaper candles? But you can also get that phenomenon called candle sooting, which is where you'll start to see those black lines on the ceiling or the walls and places like that. And that's not fun either. So better quality candles will make a difference for sure. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Karen, who's in Hampshire. Hi, Karen. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to replace my tile shower walls with one of those panel-type walls. And I think you mentioned a one-day company that you thought did a good job. I wondered what that was. I can't remember.
It's a company called Bath Fitter, and they've been around for, gosh, I think over 35 years. And do you just want to do the walls, or you want to do the tub as well?
Well, I mean, like the panel on the floor. I already have the shower.
Oh, it's a shower. Right. Okay, so if it's just a shower, then they can do the acrylic wall liner around your existing tile. And I have to tell you, Karen, I mean, I know that, you know, most of the times you look at this stuff, you're like, oh, it's just a flat piece of acrylic. They have some that when they put it on there and you stand there in the bathroom and you look at it, it looks like tile, but it is really easy to maintain. And for the most part, they can do this upgrade for you in a day. You know, so it doesn't take a ton of time to have this work done. If you go to bathfitter.com, I believe if you go to bathfitter.com/Lou, yours truly, there may be still some deal you could get if you wanted to get an estimate from them. I'm not certain, but you could check.
Okay, if I have damage, possibly water damage behind the tile.
So they'll take that out. Yeah, they can
do that too then?
Right, they'll assess that, and then they will replace whatever they need to. They won't just cover up a mess, you know what I mean?
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
But, you know, the thing too, Karen, is that, like with any kind of remodeling, you know, they may come out and take a look and go, hey, you know what, lady, this is a bigger problem, and it may be more involved, but you want to get that taken care of, obviously, before you put the new liner on.
Correct. But as long as they would do that, that's great.
They would. Okay. You got it.
Thank you so much.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU. This is Joni in Winnetka. Hi, Joni.
Yes.
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
How may I help you?
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call. I've thought about this for a long time. We have a very old crown stove. They are not made anymore.
Right.
Two side-by-side ovens. And then on the top, there are the knobs to turn on the burners, four burners, and the ovens. The knobs are falling apart. My husband has looked into knobs that would fit, but none of them fit. We have a storeroom of knobs, I think, but nothing that fit. And we wondered if you had any ideas of a place that might carry old stove knobs. This has got to be, we've been here in this home 40 years, and it was here, this stove was in here when we came, and it works beautifully.
Yeah, I know exactly the stove you're talking about. I have remodeled homes that had those old crown stoves side by side. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy that, the short answer is I don't know where you're going to find those knobs because it's been such a long time.
I mean,
to give you an example, we have a kitchen in our home, have a 10-year-old Thermador commercial grade range stove, and I can't find parts for that. They're discontinued 10 years ago. And I've tried, and you know, because I fancy myself an appliance repairman too, but some of the places like Automatic Appliance, maybe your husband's already tried them, you know, they may have.
I'll put that down.
Automatic
Appliance. Is that in Chicago?
Yeah, they're in Chicago. They've got a couple locations. I believe they have one in Norridge as well. But Automatic Appliance has been around for a long time, and they have an online presence, and you could try that. There's another online company out of Michigan called Repair Clinic.
Yeah,
okay. And the website's repairclinic.com, and that might be a source to see if you could find it. I mean, even if You know, the issue is probably the housing, the stem that you have to put the put the knob onto, but also the housing that fits it. So, like you said, you have a warehouse right. full of knobs that you could, you know, maybe you start a website yeah. called myknobs.com and you could sell them all and make some money, right. you know.
That's true. That's true.
Or go to like go to a flea market,
I appreciate your thought on this. I would so much like to get knobs because there's nothing wrong with the way that the stove works. I do a lot of cooking, baking. Mm. It's always the best.
Wait, Joni, so when you bake, what's the thing that you're known for?
Just about everything.
Oh, really? And modest.
I make a very good cornbread.
Ooh.
I'm always baking for other people.
How about banana?
Not so much for ourselves.
How about banana bread? With nuts or without?
Banana bread is another thing. I just baked that last week. Yep.
With nuts or without?
No nuts.
No nuts. Yeah.
Just the bananas.
Yeah. Sounds delicious. All right. Good luck.
The best.
Keep me posted.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yep.
Thanks
a great day. 877-213-4-LOU. Who doesn't want some banana bread right now? How about this? It's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet. Let's go to Chicago and talk to Lena. Hi, Lena. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. Are you taking calls from your ice shanty this morning?
I am not taking calls. You know, now that would be something if I could figure out a way to be ice fishing and do the radio show. I would just need a really long extension cord. How can I help you this morning?
I'm sure you have them.
Yeah.
I have a question of if you have any knowledge about acrylic window inserts.
Okay.
We have a small room that's got more windows, double pane windows than the wall, and it gets really cold, and we're not sure, you know, what we can do. I put plastic up on the windows. It doesn't seem to really help. But I talked to a couple of guys who sell those acrylic window inserts who swear to God that it's going to solve my problem. But before I spend the money, I thought I'd ask you.
All right. Let me ask you this. So it's a room that is heated, correct?
The room, it doesn't have its own heat, but we have an old building, old two-flat with a radiator. So there's a very large radiator right in the next room. It's well-ventilated, so we get heat from there. But the room itself doesn't have a heat source.
Okay, and you use this room in the winter?
We use it all the time. It's like our little TV den.
Okay, all right. And so the walls, I mean, and I'm just trying to think about the whole space. The walls are insulated?
Yeah, they're insulated. Not great. It's an old two-flat with, you know, that extension on the back of it
right.
that they did.
Right.
It's a brick two-flat with a little extension on it.
And the windows that are there are double-pane windows?
Double-pane. Yeah, there's three big windows in here, and so it's a lot of glass for this room.
Okay, and if I were to put a can with the windows closed and locked, if I put a candle around those windows, would the candle flicker?
You know, probably, but we did put plastic up on them recently.
But that didn't help.
It helped a little bit, but
right.
not... tremendously.
Okay, so the reason I'm asking you all these questions is because I think that the acrylic thing will not solve your problem, okay? Because if we put the plastic up and we did that well, now we've created an additional thermal pane in your thermal pane window to cut out the draft.
Right.
And so whether it's a piece of plastic or a quarter-inch piece of acrylic, that isn't going to have any real difference in the overall comfort of the space. Now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Did they give you a price on the acrylic thing?
Well, for three windows that are about 34 by 56, three windows is going to be about, what did I say? Gosh, I don't know if it was like maybe $1,000, I believe.
Okay. All right. So let's think about this. No offense to these people. You're going to spend $1,000, and it's not going to work.
Okay.
And you're going to live in this house for a while, right? We're staying?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. How about you split system in that space that will heat and cool the space with its own thermostat and installed? You could probably do that for around $3,000. And then it would...
What's a split system?
So a split system is what they call ductless heating and air. And what they do is they stick that cartridge, it's a like a this plastic on the wall. They drill one hole. They run a condensing unit either outside, or they could hang it on the side of this extension and run. They have some that are 110, meaning that they can go right off of 120 power, or 240, which is more efficient. And that would be a better way to go, for sure.
Hmm. Okay.
So it's more it's more money, but it's definitely the way to go. So I just Dykstra Home Services, I just called them. You're in Chicago. Where are you? North, south?
I'm in north side of Chicago.
Okay, they'll come there.
What you said, Dykstra Home Service?
Yeah, I got the number right here. You want it?
Sure.
Tell me when you're ready.
Oh, ready.
800-421-3220 and call them, say Lou Manfredini told me to call you about giving me an estimate on putting in a split system on my porch.
Okay.
And they'll give you an estimate for that. And that's the better solution for you, for sure. I mean, I keep reading more and more about the HVAC world is going to come to a huge change in how we heat and cool homes, and these split systems are probably going to take over eventually new construction because of the ability to control each individual space. And so you then have individual thermostats in each room, and a version of that, instead of blowing all the air throughout the house and running the ductwork, it'll be less expensive for the install. It'll give you more pinpoint coverage in the space where you're living, and ultimately save you money on your energy bills, because those rooms that you don't use, you could turn the heat off if you wanted to, because the whole rest of the system isn't connected with it, and you're going to start to see this be more and more prevalent when it comes to what's going on inside homes as far as heating and cooling. 877-213-4LOU. Let's get one more call in here before we break for news. This is Tom up in Sheboygan. Hey, Tom, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. How you doing?
Doing great.
All right. First thing is, there's a place up here in Milwaukee for that lady that called in about the part called All Parts Plus.
Okay.
And they specialize in parts for appliances.
Old appliances?
Yes, All Parts Plus, it's called.
All Parts Plus in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Sounds like it'd be, if they had what she was looking for, it'd be a great place to drive up there and go have lunch somewhere up in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and they could probably, if they have it, they could send it to her.
Oh, even better. Yeah, that's a great
all
tip.
Right. My question is, I'm painting a wall in my family room, which is tongue and groove pine, and it's stained. And my thought was to put a couple coats of bins or kills on it and then paint it. Is that the right way to do it?
Lightly sand it. Open up the finish a little bit. Don't got to go crazy, but take a little of the sheen off of it. One coat of the primer, and then use a paint and primer in one for your finish coat.
Okay. Great. I will do that.
That'll do a good job for you and cover it all up, and I think it'll look great. All right, when we come back, we're talking about indoor air quality today and how important that is for all of us. You know that a lot of the air that we breathe, you hear me talk about this with the folks at PermaSeal, it permeates up from the basement. And I'm going to have a conversation with Roy Spencer, the founder and president of PermaSeal, about that very topic. But right now, it's time for WGN Radio News. You've heard me talk about this and even some of the ads on this radio station about how your basement can be a source of that poor air quality. Joining me on the phone line is Roy Spencer, who is the founder and president of PermaSeal. Roy, so nice to have you on House Smarts Radio once again.
Very happy to be here, Lou. Thank you.
Quick snapshot, if we can, about PermaSeal. How many years have you been in business now?
This is our 43rd year, Lou, and we've done over 400,000 customers throughout Chicago and Northwest Indiana. So just happy to be here looking for the next, look forward to the next 43.
Yeah, and in those years, you and I know each other, and we've talked over the years about how your business has evolved. And, I suppose that, 40 years ago, if I said to you, someday you're going to be helping people with their indoor air quality, you might have scratched your head a little bit. But that's exactly what you're doing right now. I mean, healthy air, of course, equals a healthy home. Maybe touch on that a little bit and how the basement could affect that.
Yeah, great. Happy to. That's kind of been the growth of our company. I started off, repairing cracks, replacing sump pumps, trying to waterproof basements. And a lot of times I'd be done and people say, well, thanks, and it doesn't leak anymore. But you know what? It still feels damp, And so we recognized that was a problem that, really what the people want is usable living space down there. And if it feels damp or smells funky, then that's not good. So we started getting in the dehumidification process. But then we realized that this is not just making it smell better and not just making it more comfortable. It's actually making it more healthy because in the process of dehumidifying the air with the system that we use with our PermaDry air filtration and dehumidification system, it's actually pulling mold, spores, and allergens out of the air.
Yeah.
And I know you're well aware, Lou, that, most of the air upstairs, almost half the air upstairs, is actually coming up into the home from below due to the stack effect in the home, so that the air in your basement or crawl space, is a good sampling of what you're breathing upstairs as well. And so we want that air to be as healthy as possible.
Yeah, and I think that what people can miss is there might be a certain part of your basement where that odor is originating from. And maybe you don't go over there quite often and you don't notice that. From a personal aside, I was just doing some work in the basement of the home, actually running a gas line for a fireplace, a gas log set that's going to get installed. And when I was working in this corner of the basement, I was like, boy, you can really smell the differences here. Well, obviously I'm in this space and I got my nose in there, but you may not notice it, but that is going to kind of permeate through the rest of the basement, maybe dilute a little bit, but then come upstairs and you're breathing that air as well.
Yeah, and then, of course, crawl spaces are the same way, not a place we often visit, and sometimes people wouldn't go down there in a bet. They're even afraid to look down there. But honestly, that's a great breeding place a lot of times for mold and excess humidity, and you can ignore it by not going in there, but that doesn't mean it's not affecting you.
So talk to us a little bit about what is that the PermaDry dehumidification unit? Like, what is that, and how does that help improve the air quality?
Well, it's actually a very compact unit. It's like a 2-foot cube almost in size, but it's got a very powerful motor and fans and filters in it. And what it mechanically does, it helps move that basement air around the basement, pulling it in to the PermaDry box, if you will. And it's removing the humidity, but it's also scrubbing that air and pulling out mold spores and bacteria and allergens. And that the benefit of all that is that it helps decrease the growth of mold, because once you remove the humidity from the air, the mold spores become inactive in your basement. And it's also, of course, like I mentioned, removing allergens, even some viruses and bacteria, which makes the air cleaner and healthier. So, and again, not just in the basement or crawl space, but ultimately upstairs as well.
Well, and I mean, I think a lot of people, I mean, obviously now we're in the winter months and we're cold, but we're closed up inside, where, that indoor air quality is something that you really need to be concerned about. But in the summer months, when you start to run that AC, this unit is also going to potentially help lower some of the energy costs used to cool your home and dehumidify your home by the use of your air conditioner.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So it actually costs, it takes more energy for your AC to run and get the desired temperature when it's dealing with moist air. So once you dry that air out, your AC running will actually cost you a lot less money. And that's one of the things I really like about our device, the PermaDry device, compared to, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, big box stores that sell dehumidifiers that are very inexpensive to buy, but they're very expensive to run. So if you ran the PermaDry device in lieu of one of the big box devices, well, first of all, most of those ones you buy at the big box stores aren't powerful enough to actually lower the humidity. So you spent money, but you're not really addressing the problem because it's not powerful enough to effectively lower the humidity. And secondly, if you did have two or three of them that would do it, it would cost you nearly a couple hundred dollars more a year to run those than it would one PermaDry device.
Wow. You mentioned a little bit ago about the crawl space and, you know, how people don't even want to go down there. But I would think that, you know, one of the things that you've talked about is the crawl space encapsulation process that PermaSeal offers. That, along with the installation of the PermaDry system, could really be the 1-2 punch for people that are really concerned.
Again, hit the nail on the head, being the carpenter you are. But, yeah, they work great in tandem because, I mean, you have an open, untreated crawl space, even if it might just be dirt, but even if there's gravel over it or there's a thin layer of plastic that's punctured and not effective a vapor barrier, what you have is, again, with the vacuum effect of the stack effect of the home, is just odors, gases, moisture just being sucked up into the air there. So I know you've seen our crawl space encapsulation systems, our clean space system, and it's just amazing just aesthetically, you know, when you, you take a dirty, dark, you know, space and turn into bright, white, usable space that you can actually safely use for storage, and it just looks great down there and adds value to your home that way. But the other real value is that it's encapsulating it, and we seal it so all the air and gases and things can't get into the atmosphere. So that really helps the PermaDry device do its work even better because there's not that excess humidity from this big open untreated crawl space.
Roy, does the PermaDry system, you know, once it's installed, does it require a lot of maintenance by the homeowner, or what do you have to do to just keep the thing at peak performance?
Well, there is a dual filter on it. One of them it's easy enough it's just you wash it. The other is a larger filter that can be replaced, and we recommend, you know, at least once a year maintenance on that because it's a large filter and stuff like that. So something the homeowner can do, or we can also assist in our maintenance department as well.
That's great.
So if it's down in the crawl space, I don't want to get down there and deal with that.
Sure.
You don't have to. We'd be glad to come out and service that for you.
Can you share any kind of promotions that you folks are offering right now as it pertains to anything going on for the services that you provide?
Yeah, actually, we've got some great financing programs we've had and continue to have, and I don't know how much longer the finance company is going to do this with what's going on in the world, but right now we can still, for any of our services at PermaSeal, do the work today for you, and you can literally pay for it in 4 years without interest. So
Wow. You
can have the work done now, and with the interest rate, as long as it's paid within 4 years, you don't have to pay any interest on the money. So this is a great time of year, not just because we have this great financing available, but also, you know, again, we're super busy with our waterproofing right now, so we can get out here and get the work done right away without a long wait. And the nice thing is, because humidity kind of sneaks up on you, it's not a big problem right now in the wintertime, But in the summertime, the hot summer months, you're not going to have to worry about mold growth and humidity in the summer.
What a great time of year to consider having one of these installed, because then you're ready for it. I really do agree with that. Remember that PermaSeal also offers free inspections all the time. So if you are concerned with anything going on below grade that you think needs attention, you can call PermaSeal and they'll come out and evaluate it for you and give you a written estimate on what has to happen. A free evaluation so your family can breathe easier, in particular when we're talking about indoor air. Roy, I know the number. It's 800-421-SEAL, and I also know that people can go to permaseal.net if they'd like more information.
Spot on, once again. Hit yeah. it right in the head.
You know, I mean, like, it's not easy doing what I do here, you know. Roy, I really do appreciate you taking the time this morning. Roy Spencer, the founder and president of PermaSeal, thanks so much for taking the time today, talking a little bit about healthy air. My best to you and your family.
Well, thank you, Lou, for getting this important word out. It's kind of an invisible thing that people don't think about, and they're sneezing and getting sick, and they don't even realize why, and indoor air quality is super important this time of year. So thank you for the work you're doing.
You got it. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We will take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Good.
What do you do when your crawl space is less than 3 feet? It's like 26, 30 inches.
What do you mean?
PermaSeal has like height restrictions for their doing their duty, like their encapsulation. Do you have other places that do crawl spaces that are smaller than?
Did they come out and take a look and said it's just too narrow?
I got them coming out, but they already asked me on the phone how it is. I don't know how it is, how deep it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, exactly. I think it's like 26 inches.
Huh. And
so I was just wondering.
Well, I'm not. Well, problems. I would. I don't, because I think that, you know, any of those companies, if there is some restriction, I got to be honest with you, I didn't realize that there was a restriction. Obviously, if it's like 1 foot, you can't do it. But, you know, the biggest issue is the people that have to come do the work have to have access and be able to move around in there.
Well, I already had insulation replaced, and I know people can go in there.
Yeah.
I've been in there, but now I'm like, I'm old now.
I know what you mean. No, so let's do this. Let them come out and take a look at it and see, because they may be able to access it. I was talking about this, I keep referencing, how the stuff that I've talked about in the past. We did a video with them a while ago. And I think that, you know, they need about 18 inches, you know, 2 feet, 18 inches minimum to be able to get in there. You know, they got some skinny skinny people working there. So let's let them come out and assess it. And then for some reason they can't do it, you know, we can come up with an alternative for you there. But I think if you've got at least 20 some inches or so, you probably will be good.
All right, I was just worried because they're asking about it, like it's less than 3 feet. So they're coming Tuesday. We'll see what they say then.
Yeah, let me know, and call me back, and then we can go from there. Right, appreciate the phone call. I want to give you another one of these tips about indoor air quality, because I think that the stuff we put together you'll find pretty interesting. This is something else that has to do with indoor air quality and things to consider, so that you're keeping you and your family safe. When you think about indoor air quality, the single best thing you can do is open up a window, right, and get some fresh air into the home. That obviously is difficult to do this time of year where we live. But even, you know, there was an old saying about an old drafty house was a healthy house. And, you know, we've done such a good job of sealing things up and keeping things as compartmentalized as possible when it comes to indoor air quality, that, you know, it's it kind of can have a double-edged sword, that we need to introduce outdoor air. I'll tell you about a product, too, that Brohn has that came out. They've got these sensors now that they can place inside of a home, and when it's wired properly, it will monitor the air quality and actually turn on the exhaust fans throughout your home that will help evacuate stale, dirty air. And then they have another device that actually brings fresh air in. But a little bit later on this morning, we're going to talk with the folks at Fellows about their air purifiers. And what's really unique about those, and if you're someone that owns a business and you've got employees in a space where you've got maybe 20 people coming into a meeting, you know, think about this in a setting like that. You get into a room in a commercial setting, and there's a sensor in there that tells you what the temperature is. And when it reaches 70 degrees, if that's what it's set at, the system shuts down. And maybe it slows down, whatever it could be. And then the air exchange in there is not great. Their system monitors that. It's a separate unit. And then it kicks into high gear to make sure that the air is clean. This is something we absolutely need to focus on going forward, not just because of COVID-19, but, you know, the better we keep ourselves healthy and the air we breathe, especially indoors, the healthier we're going to be and the better off we're all going to be for sure. All right, 877-213-4LU is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be right back. You know, after our show every Saturday morning at 10 a.m., is the Home Sweet Home Chicago radio show hosted by David Hochberg. You hear him up and down here on WGN Radio. And today's show, David is actually going to be focused on helping to put bulletproof vests on police officers and even police dogs, I believe, as well. David stepped into the studio to let people know what's going on. Good morning, Mr. Hochberg.
Thanks for having me on, Lou. Appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Talk a little bit about what you folks are going to be doing this morning at 10 a.m.
Yeah, from 10 to 1, we're holding a vest-a-thon, which is going to bring awareness and raise funds so the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation can purchase replacement bulletproof vests for the officers of the Chicago Police Department, which have to buy their own replacement bulletproof vests.
Right. Right. I mean, I was at dinner last night with a friend of mine who's a retired lieutenant, and I was asking, and I said I was going to be talking with you this morning. He knew about the fundraiser as well. I think, you know, throughout the department and the policemen, you know, they've kind of all talked about it and want to support it. And he said after about 4 or 5 years, the Kevlar starts to kind of give way, and it's no longer a safe option for the officers to wear.
Yeah, we're actually, Lou, we're having a sales rep from the bulletproof vest manufacturer that supplies the vests to the Chicago Police Department on the show at, I believe, 10:45 to talk about the 5-year lifespan of a bulletproof vest and the degradation and how they wear out. You know, listen, our bodies change over a 5-year period of time. You and I both lost a ton of weight. And, you know, if we had a vest at our previous size, it's not safe for us to wear it now.
Yours, you could just cut it in half and fold it, right? And then new Velcro and you'd be fine.
I wouldn't go that far. But
yeah, actually, David, for you, what would you just turn sideways and they wouldn't see you anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, well, thank you for the compliment. But, you know, listen, it's 95 degrees in the shade here on a humid Chicago day. Right. And it's 20 degrees. It was 45 degrees yesterday and it's 20 degrees and zero with the wind chill today. So they wear down, and all we're trying to do, Lou, is bring awareness to the listening audience out there that might not realize. And I've got two police chiefs from the suburbs, Police Chief Cass Stevens from Buffalo Grove and Police Chief Dunn from Wheeling, both friends of mine, who are calling in to talk about how their officers are provided bulletproof vests as part of their daily routine every 5 years because they wear out. And yes, the Chicago police officers do get a uniform allowance, but it's taxed. And the suburban officers get a uniform allowance that's not taxed.
Right.
And it comes out to the same amount of money after taxes. And the suburban officers are given vests in Chicago's not. It makes no sense.
You're going to be talking this morning on your show this morning about this. But I know that there's a website right now, too, right, if people wanted to go to make a donation. Can you give that information out?
Yes, sir. And thank you for the opportunity. It's there's a website open right now, CPD Vest, CPD 4 stands for Chicago Police Department, CPD Vest, singular. And we're also going to have 20 phones, thanks to AT&T for stepping up at Chicago Police Headquarters. We have 25 Chicago police officers going to be manning the phones starting at 10. So I just want to give the number out. Don't call now.
Yep.
It's 872-262-BEST. So So 872-262-8378. And the and I know you got a packed show, and I appreciate the time on your show. I just want to bring this you know, state this one point for your listeners. It's going to be a fun show. We're going to laugh. We're going to cry. We have Father Brandt coming in to do a prayer at the end. This guy of the Chicago Police Department, he's amazing. We've got the bagpipes coming in, Studio B, that are going to do the bumpers going in and out. And I just want to leave your listeners with this. The Chicago Police Memorial Foundation is a 501c3 organization. So if you give a donation, it's a deductible check with your tax preparer. But what they do is they support fallen officers, the families of injured officers, and the families of the officers that made the ultimate sacrifice and lost their life while serving this city. Okay, mm-hmm. I live in Northbrook, and I come into the city. I consider myself a Chicagoan, right? When mm-hmm. I step over that 606 zip code.
Well, I mean, a lot of people don't know. You live right in one of the meanest cul-de-sacs in Northbrook.
100%.
Right?
100%.
Right. It's the mean streets of North.
The mean streets of North. I'm lucky that my tires are still on
my
car.
I know.
Every morning when I wake up, I'm looking at cylinder blocks. So when I come down the Edens and I pass Wilson, I'm in Chicago.
Right.
And the men and women of the City of Chicago Police Department do not care where I live. If a call goes out, if I flip my car on the Kennedy on the way in, or if my car gets carjacked, not that that ever happens, and a call goes out, the men and women from all sides of town are coming to my safety and to make sure I'm safe. And that's what it's all about. Okay. And the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation has a line item in their budget that should be set aside to take care of the families, not the police officers with vests. That's something that we should do. That's something that the city should do, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. But until mm-hmm. the city does that, we need to step up and help the men and women so they don't have to pay for their own vests. It's ridiculous.
That is all coming up this morning, starting at 10. Stay tuned for David Hochberg and Home Sweet Home Chicago. And that's coming up. David, nice job. Thanks for stepping into the studio. Appreciate it. Have a great show today.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, Lou. Have a great day. Bye.
877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. What a terrific cause. I'm glad they're doing that. And really nice job on his part and everybody putting it all together. Let's take a quick call here. This is Sue in Northfield. Hey, Sue. Good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Lou? I listen to you every weekend. Great show. Thanks for all your advice over the years. I wanted to bounce an idea off you. I was looking for a home filtration system, and I was looking at some of the portables, and I came across a filtration company up in St. Paul, Minnesota that sets a 500 horsepower or CFM motor, whatever you call them, next to the furnace, and they tap into the supply into the return with a 12-inch thick HEPA filter. Is that a viable option for my home up in Elgin here?
Describe what they do. They put a separate CFM fan.
Yeah, they set a fan on top of a 12-inch thick HEPA filter, and then they tap into the supply in the return, so they pull the bad air in off of the return, they filter it through the HEPA.
Right.
And then they push it through. And on the return, they add a ultraviolet light to kill any pathogens on the way.
So it sounds like it's an air filtration ERV, which is an energy recovery ventilator. Does it introduce outside air as well?
Okay.
No, does it, the unit you're looking at?
Oh, no, it's sealed. It's all in the room. No outside air is coming in, except from, natural the windows and walls, that type of thing.
Do you know what they're going to charge you to do that?
They're right at, the unit for a 500, I think it's CFM, they said it's the unit's 3,000, and then I got to find a HVAC guy down in Elgin to put it in.
Right, so
they figured probably about $1,000.
Right, so what I would probably look into is your HVAC guy already has an ERV, energy recovery ventilator, that's either made by April Air or by Brohn, and that also has a HEPA filtration. The better part of what I like about that is it introduces fresh air from outside and has a separate fan that circulates through your cold air return. So even when your furnace is off, okay, and now this one sounds like with a separate fan it would do the same thing, but in a whole house situation, to me, having outside air introduced, fresh outside air, only helps the issue, right? And I bet you would have an ERV with a filter installed for either around the same amount of money or less. And if it's like equipment, meaning that your HVAC, okay, you hire a guy to install something that you bought. If the thing doesn't work, that's your problem, not theirs.
Right.
Right? So yep. That's the problem with that. I would look into, do you have an HVAC company you work with?
I haven't hired one yet, no.
Okay. And you're out in Elgin?
The fans come out of Greenack, out of Wisconsin, so the fans are good. I mean, I trust the fan.
Itself. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not saying that the unit is a bad unit, but there are already units out there that can do this that go along with the furnace and the system that you have. And I would start with an HVAC contractor and get an estimate from them. And then you can talk to them about this unit. But for $3,000, I would, my personal view, if I'm going to put that onto my furnace, I want some sort of outside air also to be introduced. And with these ERVs, the whole idea is that they're not taking the conditioned air that you just paid to either heat or cool. They're saving that and making sure that you don't, have to reheat or cool it, but they're filtering the air as well while they introduce the fresh air.
Okay.
Look online, when we get off the phone, look online under an ERV, Energy Recovery Ventilator, and you'll see a whole host of information from different manufacturers that I think you'll find very interesting, and you can do your deep dive into the benefits of those units. Thanks so much for the phone call. Hey, our show about healthy indoor air quality is sponsored by Fellows Air Purifiers. The most prepared workspaces have Fellows Air Purifiers. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Hello, Sue. How are you? Good morning.
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. Sue, you know what? I'm going to send you out 3 rooms of carpet cleaning from Executive Green Carpet Cleaning, providing a level of clean that no one else in the area can deliver. Visit executivegreencarpetcleaning.com. How may I help you?
Oh, thank you. I have a question. I live in a small townhouse complex, and they put those gutter guards on.
Mm-hmm.
Do we still get a lot of the ice damming and the icicles from, are we supposed to get the icicles that are like daggers?
Well, I mean, I will tell you that, with the gutter guards, they're not really designed or really make a huge difference on whether or not you get ice dams or icicles. You know what I mean? It's kind of because the idea, if without them, then the gutter fills up with water and ice and snow, and then you get a bigger block of ice that takes longer to melt once the season changes. The real benefit of the gutter guards is that you don't get leaves and debris in there to clog the gutters. And so, if they said, hey, we're going to do these gutter guards and it's going to be awesome, then it wasn't really designed or shouldn't be there at all for, a change in icicles. That's really more atmospheric, and you probably need more insulation in the attic space, things like that, to try and eliminate that situation.
Okay, but since I'm in a townhouse, if I did my attic, would my neighbors, I'm in the middle, so would, which is good because I get their warmth, but if I did my attic, is it going to make a difference because they don't do theirs?
Well, it would make a difference probably in your section.
Okay.
But again, I mean, no guarantees, but in theory, it would make a difference in your section.
Okay. My water in my kitchen really smells. I don't know what it is. And it's not chlorine. It's just a foul odor.
Coming out of the kitchen faucet?
Coming out of the kitchen faucet.
And is it when you first draw it or all the time?
No. Pretty much all the time, I can smell it.
Okay. It could be a reaction inside the faucet itself, in the cartridge. Is it a single handle or a double handle?
It's a single handle.
Yeah. It could be a degrading of the O-ring inside the cartridge, even though it's okay. not leaking or anything like that. But it, what I would start with in a situation like that is have the handle removed, take out the cartridge, clean out the hole that it goes into with a little CLR and a toothbrush, and then replace the cartridge. You could go to the hardware store and say, I need one of these, and it slips back in and reassemble it. That's where I would start. And it has to be something with the faucet because, you know, it's just localized to the kitchen, and that may solve the problem for you. Thanks so much for the phone call. I really appreciate it. Hey, today's show about healthy indoor air quality is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems at permaseal.net. Coming up, we're going to talk about a really good line of both commercial and residential air purifiers from Fellows. But right now, it's time for WGN Radio News. Have the mask mandate be taken off by the end of the month. I know that that's a very positive thing for all of us. But also, Dr. Ngozi Ezike, who is the Illinois Department of Public Health director, had this to say about indoor air quality. Take a listen.
We need to continue talking about is improving indoor air quality. Schools, workplaces, businesses, all any indoor location should look at what upgrades can be made to their ventilation systems to reduce the infectious particles in the air. This might even apply to your home where you can purchase maybe a portable air cleaner with a HEPA filter. Your actions that you've already taken have helped to reduce the amount of virus circulating, and it absolutely has saved lives.
100%. And, you know, we've talked at length for the past couple of years about how even just the simplest thing of going from spun fiberglass filters in your furnace to pleated filters can make a huge difference. But what Dr. Ezike talked about was in-home filters or filters for your business, you know, whole house or whole room filters can make a huge difference. Joining me on the phone line is Jason Jones, who is the director of air treatment with Fellows. Jason, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Morning, Lou. Thanks for having me.
What did you think about that statement from Dr. Ngozi Ezike about treating our air and how that can make a huge difference?
You know, it's really encouraging to hear. At Fellows, we've been in the education business for over a decade now. You know, anyone who's in this business, if you're in air purification or HVAC, you understand the need for clean air. The unfortunate, side effect, or the fortunate side effect, I should say, of COVID-19 is that now the whole world is aware of the risks of not having purified air and clean air in your home and business and schools. So to hear public officials now coming out and making such bold statements and strong endorsements for HEPA air purification, localized air treatment, is really encouraging to us. Not just from a business standpoint, but also from the standpoint of we know this is, the risks involved are a major concern for everyone's health.
Well,
encouraging.
And it really kind of backs up from a business perspective, which meaning that if I'm a business owner and I've got a bunch of people working in my office, you know, maybe 10 years ago, I was like, well, I don't need to invest in that. That's fine. I don't have to worry about that. And then, you know, COVID has really opened people's eyes to if you get the right equipment, you can stay open. You can protect your people. The health and welfare of everybody working for you is so much better. I mean, it's interesting. You mentioned you've been in this business since 2011. And I know that the technology is constantly changing. Talk a little bit about some of the air purifiers, the commercial air purifiers that Fellows manufactures.
So, yeah, the Fellows line of products really rely on physical capture. HEPA air purification technology has been around for a while. Which is really good for us because it's tried and true. There's a lot of other burgeoning technologies that are coming out that aren't quite as well established and well understood. But one thing we do know is that our HEPA filters are effective at capturing airborne viruses, airborne contaminants. Specifically, we've been tested against COVID-19. We've shown over 99.99% capture rate of that virus. But really, you know, we understand that that's one particle, and we are fully capable of capturing all those submicron particles at incredibly high rates that are going to you know, embed themselves deep into our lungs, inside our respiratory system, and simply can't get out. It's just the way our bodies are designed. Unfortunately, we tend to draw in these particles and have a really hard time breathing them out. And our machines are designed to help purify the air, to pull those submicron particles out of the air so that simply we're not breathing them.
Well, right.
And there's a lot more that goes into it beyond just the filters. There's a lot of other technologies around it in our machines that make them different,
right,
and better. Beyond just having a strong, capable filter, you have to be safe and reliable. You can't just be effective, right? You have to be safe and reliable, too. Our machines are effective in capturing the virus, but they're safe in that they are non-ozone emitting, which, you know, you don't want to create one problem when you're solving another.
Right, right.
Which is another important thing to consider.
Right. Now, with the systems, okay, so describe to our listeners, are these systems integrated into the existing HVAC system of a business, or are they standalone, or are they a combination of both of those things?
Yeah, great question. So our system is designed to be supplemental to the HVAC system. They are standalone outside of the HVAC. It's not installed within the system.
Mm-hmm.
But that comes with some really good benefits. If you remember early on, and even in the clip you played, we hear ventilation. And we hear ventilation, we think the HVAC system. That's where our mind immediately goes. But we know there's some drawbacks and limitations to the HVAC system. It could be cost. It could be, it could just simply be the machinery that's in place today is incapable of taking a large enough filter to capture a high volume of virus particles, mm-hmm, or submicron particles. So there's a lot of drawbacks, but you can get some clean air through your HVAC system. However, we've heard from ASHRAE and the CDC, you need 4 to 6 good air changes, you know, air changes per hour to feel as though you've got that high level of cleanliness in the air. So that's exactly where our machines come in. The HVAC systems are designed really to be triggered by the thermostat. It's designed to keep you comfortable first and foremost. So when the thermostat reaches the prescribed temperature, they'll turn off or they'll cut off airflow or most of the airflow to that space. Our machines are designed to monitor occupancy and air quality. What triggers our machine to activate and our system to activate is exactly what we need, is definitely the concern we have right now. If you have a meeting with 15 people in the room, then, and the room reaches 70 degrees and the thermostat turns off, your filtration, your airflow to that room is minimized. But our machine will detect that extra air in poor air quality. It'll detect that extra motion and occupancy, and it'll actually ramp up. So it'll go the other direction. It'll give you that extra protection when you need it.
You know, COVID has taught us a lot about this, I guess, you know, localized treatment. And when you talk about the limitations of an HVAC system, you know, people let's talk about in a home, right? People will say, oh, you know, my house is so comfortable, but boy, there's this one room, it's freezing cold, and you just can't get it right. And, you know, there's been a movement within the HVAC world where they're using these, what they call split system or ductless systems, where you can pinpoint the comfort and the heating and cooling of a specific room instead of having to treat the whole home. And with your systems, it's the same thing. And one of the things I want you to talk about, too, is, you know, in everybody's rush to, like, go out and buy a air purifier, you know, a lot of people are buying these residential units that, you know, may be good for a living room. Or, you know, I've seen a lot of them in classrooms, and I look at them and I'm going, man, those things do not have the capacity to do what you mentioned about the air exchanges, you know, 4 to 6 air exchanges an hour. If all of a sudden you have a meeting with, you know, 25 people in it, it's really more of a mental thing to say, oh, there's an air purifier. But, you know, the air is really clean if you sit on the air purifier right next to it, but it might not be on the other side of the room. Your systems have the capacity to do larger areas or work in concert. Like, you can put more than one, correct?
Correct. Absolutely. And that is really something where this is a consultative conversation we're having with our clients all the time in classrooms and conference rooms and in restaurants. There is no one size fits all when it comes to clean air. We're really trying to purify the entire volume of the space that we're sharing. Sometimes that means one small unit for your child's nursery room. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that means a few large units for a cubicle center, for a call center, you know, full of cubicles.
Right.
So it really does depend on the environment. But to your point, exactly, it really is geared towards making sure you're getting the right number of air changes per hour. You want clean air filter through that room every 10, 12 minutes to ensure that we're really reducing that viral load. And that is really everyone's goal. And that has been the goal of the CDC and ASHRAE when they mention ventilation. The goal is just reducing that viral concentration from the air and all the other particulate matter, just bringing that level down to a safe and healthy level.
And while your systems initially were designed for commercial applications, you've evolved that you have units that can be used residentially as well. Is that correct?
Correct. Absolutely. So we have, like you mentioned, we have our commercial line, but we also have a full setup of personal home use machines. And I tend to call them personal machines because you can use them in a commercial space in your personal office. Mm-hmm. It's really designed for, low occupancy spaces, one or two people, your family, for instance. Or if you, like I said, a personal office in an office environment where you may have the commercial line out in the cubicle area, but in the executive suite, you want to have something smaller, more compact.
Right.
They're a great lineup for all those kind of personal spaces. It really kind of comes down to personal versus shared air.
Sure.
As opposed to necessarily.
Can you give me an idea of, like, on those personal ones, like where they start from a price point, and just so we can give our listeners kind of an idea of where they, the investment for that?
Yeah, the range for the personal machines will purify roughly 200 to 600 square feet, and that range, that price point will be around $200 to $400. A pretty low entry.
Oh my gosh, completely affordable. Right. On the commercial side, this is something that if someone's listening and they run a business where they've got a bunch of people, in an office, and they're like, I need to get some of these commercial units in there. This is something you folks at Fellows will consult with and talk with them so that they are getting the right unit for those spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is what we do every day. We will come in, consult with you, talk about the HVAC upgrades you may have already made, figure out what the right fit is for you for your space. Is it a portable freestanding unit that you just plug and play, or is it the wall-mounted integrated solution that is hardwired into your electrical system, up out of the way, seamlessly integrated? So there's a lot of different options. There's a lot of things, factors to consider. Placement of the product is important to consider. You don't want to put it right by the door where right. customers are coming in and out and you're losing that clean air. So absolutely, that is something we do every day, and I think it's of a great value to our customers because, up until the pandemic, like we said before, air quality wasn't necessarily something people considered high on their priority list necessarily. And now that it is, it's a steep learning curve for sure.
Right. But it's good to have somebody in your corner. In particular, you talk about the Fellows brands. I see here that Fellows is celebrating its 105th year under private ownership, and the executive leadership team is the Fellows family. And so I love that. I love that, it's a company that, has a lot of different business units, but this is a good one. And I've seen these units, and I think that it's absolutely something that people should consider for their homes and businesses. Jason, how do people learn more, and how do they contact you folks, either for commercial units or residential units for them?
Yeah, the best way to learn more is simply to go to fellows.com/air. Our website has a ton of really great tools to learn more, to understand air changes, to understand our products, and just, some of the general guidance that's out there today. So it's a great resource, not just to purchase products, but also to learn more.
Jason Jones is the Director of Air Treatment with Fellows. Jason, I really do appreciate you taking the time. This is really interesting, and continued success to the entire Fellows team over there. You're doing good stuff. Keep it up.
Thanks, Lou. Really appreciate your time.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Our phone number is 877-213-4-LOU. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Hey, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing well. How may I help you this morning?
I had a question about air quality inside of automobiles. Older cars never had a cabin filter.
They did not.
And the newer cars have cabin filters, but a lot of people never, ever, ever change them. And I'm kind of a car guy, and I know this. I'm a non-smoker, mm-hmm. but over the years, I noticed that you'd get a film on the inside of the glass in your car.
Yep.
When I talked to somebody about it, they said what that is the off-gassing of the materials in your car, your the vinyl seats and the dashboard and all the plastics and everything that are in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And it off gases and it creates a film on the inside of the windows, even if you don't smoke.
Right.
And we inhale all those off gases, especially if it's a newer car. Older cars have done a lot of off gassing, so not so much. But they still do. It still happens.
Sure.
Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Yeah, no, 100%. I actually, probably about 6 months ago, I was at the dealer, and the car needed a new cabin filter. And, you know, of course, it's never inexpensive to do that because, you know, it's under the glove box or something like that, right? They need to take it all apart. And I thought about it, and the kind of that film and what you talked about, you know, so... Now, I'm somebody that I have a sunroof in the car that you can tilt up a little bit. Even in the winter months, I'll keep that open to get some fresh air. But if you think about even your dashboard, you know, it's all plastic, and that sun hits that, and even that off gas, and you talked about older cars, it still heats up, and those chemicals are doing something. And I think that cabin filters inside a car are one of the best things you can do to keep the indoor air quality in there. And, you know, there's a return air just like a furnace system. And then a lot of cars have the ability to introduce outdoor air as well, right? Like with the air conditioning, when you put it on max, what that does is shut the venting from outside to come in. But cars still allow fresh air to come in through venting that you don't see. So I'm a proponent of those cabin filters being replaced, and I'm also a proponent to keeping your dirty car clean, because a lot of people have filthy cars, and that dust has to go somewhere, and that's a problem. So absolutely change those filters when you can. Mark, thanks so much for the phone call. Our show about healthy indoor air quality is sponsored by Fellows Air Purifiers. The most prepared workspaces have Fellows Air Purifiers. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.